Good evening.
I'd like to say, first of all, thank God for giving me this opportunity to be able to stand here before you, to be able to come and bring a lesson from His Holy Word. I truly stand here humbly, in spirit and mind and soul, in front of you. I also want to thank the elders from this congregation to give me an opportunity to be able to stand here before you. This is my third week here on Dallas, Texas, and I am very, very happy to be part of this congregation. I and my family truly, truly thank you so much. We also want to thank you, me on behalf of me and my family, for inviting us to the group meetings that we have on Saturdays. It is truly, truly a great blessing because we get to know each one of you. And yet, this is a big congregation. We have been invited to a couple of groups, and we have met some of you. And don't ask me for names because this is going to be a big challenge for me to remember everybody's names. But I do remember your face, which is great. Thank you so much once again. And truly, I and my family want to say thank you. I also want to say hi and welcome those who are visiting here this evening. I want to say that you have chosen the right place to be. Welcome, and we ask that we invite you to come back next time as you have the opportunity to come. Time management. That's what we're going to be speaking about this evening, time management. Very important time management. You know, like I said, I've been here 3 weeks, and it seems like 3 weeks already went by fast. I don't even know how it went. Time flies by. And we must be very careful as Christians how we take advantage of time. Because I can remember going 10 years back and look back, and all I can say is, where did time go? Time going by so fast. What did I do in those 10 years? It's been 10 years since I gave my life to the Lord, and I have learned some things that I hope and pray that they will help you also. I'm not going to have this on PowerPoint, so if you have a pen and pencil, or if you got an iPad or an iPhone, any electronic, you might want to write these things down because they help me in my life. I'm sure they will help you also. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. This evening, we're taking the time to study God's word. I also want to say to the young man who led us in singing, great, beautiful songs, amazing. I also, when I first came in earlier, I saw the young people over here practicing songs. That is so beautiful. I would encourage you, young people, to continue to do that. That's great. It really brings joy to my heart to see young people involved in things like that. Do you manage your time wisely when it comes to serving God? That's a question I ask myself many times. Because, like I say, time flies by so fast. And if we're not careful, time will slide and slide. And we will not be able to serve God in a way that God would have us to do. When was the last time you opened your Bible? You know, I have 5 kids, and, you know, we're engaged in Bible studies. But sometimes it's easy to stray away from that. Because the world pulls us away from the Word, pulls us away from God. The world has a big impact on us, and if we're not careful, we can drift away. I want to ask you another question. When was the last time you prayed to your Heavenly Father? Was it this morning? Was it this evening? But what about throughout the week? What about throughout the week? It's very important that we point this out, because from the way I see here, it's very important, because we get up in the morning, we get ready, you know, we go to work, kids go to school, and boy, the day is flying by so fast. And sometimes we forget the most important thing is to pray. We don't pray. Our kids struggle. Brother Gerald did an amazing lesson this morning. And I'm sure everybody here got some out of that lesson, including the young people. So we have to be very careful. Take time. Redeem time. Manage your time. Because you're the only one that can make that choice. No one else can do it for you. Psalms 32 verses 6 and 7 reads, For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. We must be a people to pray that prays to the Lord all the time. He is our Father. He is our God. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Why not? He is our Father. This lesson is about the importance of managing our time so we can honor God in our lives. That's what it's about. So that we may honor God in our lives. Psalms 34:1 says, this is point number one. I'm sorry, I'll take that back. Point number one, we need to be people that praise God daily. Not only on Wednesdays, not only on Sunday mornings, or not only on Sunday evenings. We have to be people that praise God all the time. We should be able to go to work, drive in our cars, sing songs of praise to God. We should be at work. We should be singing. Who cares what people say, right? People may say, you're weird. But who cares? You're praising your God. His praises are on your heart all the time. So point number one is praising God daily. We must be people that praise God daily. Psalms 34 verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. Not once a week. Not twice a week. Continually in my mouth. Psalms 103 verses 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When was the last time you blessed the name of the Lord? When was the last time? Psalms 9:2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. See, this is David, and you can see the heart of David here. This is a man after God's own heart, and he is a man that is praising God all the time because he's seen how God's hand was in his life. He's seen how God delivered him from the hand of Goliath. I mean, there was one guy that was terrifying the whole nation of Israel, right? But here he comes and God gives him the strength to be able to take him down. And not only that, but we can read in many other areas where God redeemed his life from destruction. I mean, many, many places. So David had this heart of, being grateful, being thankful. He had this heart of, just pouring out his heart all the time to the Lord. Second point that I want to say is we need to be fruitful in Christ. Fruitful in Christ. So what do I mean by being fruitful in Christ? If I am not engaging and talking to the people about the Lord, I'm not going to be fruitful. If I am not reading my Bible, how am I going to learn what the Lord expects from me so I can do his work? We need to be fruitful in Christ. John 15 verses 4 and 6. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So we must abide in Christ. Just like he says, he is the vine and we are the branches. But if we don't abide in Christ, how are we going to be fruitful? Just like you have a tree. If you see that it's a branch that is not producing anything, all it's doing is collecting thorns, what are you going to do? You're going to cut it off because it's not doing anything. It is the same way with Christ. We must be fruitful in Christ. David says this on Psalms chapter 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In verse 10, David teaches that our days on this earth are about 70 years, and by reason of his strength, 80. Shouldn't we be concerned about serving the Lord? I know young people are like, man, I'm 10, I'm 15, I got a ways to go. Not really. Life is short. Life is short. Life is short. We need to manage our time. Point number three, our life is but a vapor, so we need to make time today. Our life is like a vapor, we need to make time today. This morning I was driving here from Forney, and it was foggy. And my kids were like, Dad, look, it's foggy. I said, yeah, it won't be foggy for too long. It'll be gone. When the sun comes up, it vanishes away. It is the same way with our lives. Our lives are like vapor. It vanishes. James 4, 13 through 15 says this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. James describes it very well. Our life is like a vapor. Life is short on this earth. It is short. I can look back 10, 15 years ago and say, wow, just like a blink of an eye. 10, 15 years ago, what did I do? It went by so fast. And I'm sure y'all can do the same thing. We need to teach the younger generations that serving God is their best choice. It is the best choice. I tell you what, my parents never taught me this when I was young. I had to learn the hard way. My parents never sit down with me on a table and say, son, this book right here is what's going to guide you through life. No, my parents never did that. Now that I have my kids, and now that I know what I know, I take the time to sit down with them and try to study with them. Take any opportunity that I can, because they're not going to be with me all the time. There's going to be a time when they're going to get married, they're going to move on. So we need to take that time. We need to teach the younger generations that heaven is what matters. Everything else is temporary. Everything else on this earth is temporary. Heaven is what matters the most. We need to make sure that our kids know that. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Serving your Creator right now, your own people, is the best thing that you can do. Because just as the text says in there, it may happen that you will grow up, and then you may get old, and you may be like, I have no pleasure in reading the Bible no more. I don't want to go to Bible studies no more. I don't want to go to church. I don't find no pleasures in those things. I have an uncle like that. I have my dad that is like that. And I try to point these things out to him. They're not interesting to him. We must put these things on our kids' minds and hearts. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But if I don't take the time to train my kids to study the word, to pray, and to engage in Bible studies, how are they going to grow up knowing these things? I love this. I love it. What happens here? You know, Brother Gerald had a Bible team get together last week, and my kids are so, you know, outgoing. They want to go to these things. You know, they want to go to these Bible studies, and I love that about them because I know it's going to help them. It's going to be good for them. It's going to be good for them, and I want to thank Brother Gerald for that. Anybody else who's engaging in those kind of Bible studies and bringing these young kids to get engaged in those studies, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Young people, I promise you, you have made the best choice. You have made the best choice. Stick with it. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't give up. No matter what comes along your way, don't give up. You're surrounded here by many, many, many Christians here that will help you. That will help you. If you need something, you're struggling with something, ask. That's what I did. And that's what I still do anyways. When I have questions or I have doubts or something, I ask. And I seek for older people. Older people that have been Christian for a long time. Point number 4. Parents must set the example to the children, teaching them how to manage their time, teaching them the importance of reading the Bible, and the importance of praying to God and to love God. If we don't teach our children those things, the world is going to take them. The world is going to teach them things that are contrary to God's will. We have to be very, very mindful of those things. Deuteronomy 11:19, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 10:12, and now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. See, God does not require just love me on Sundays or love me on Wednesdays. No, God requires that we love him all the time. All the time. That's his requirements. Point number five. Manage your time and don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about tomorrow. I don't even know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. You don't either. All we have is today. So why worry about something about tomorrow that we have no control over? Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today, for the day it is its own trouble. So why worry about tomorrow? This is Jesus speaking right here. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. I know your needs. I'm going to provide your needs. Don't worry about it. If you're struggling to make time for God in your life, take action today. Make a change today. Go to the Lord in prayer each day. Don't let time go by. Don't let it go by. Time is precious. Mark 1:35-37. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they say to him, everyone is looking for you. Did you see what Jesus did here? He will go to a solitary place early in the morning and go straight to his heavenly Father. We should be able to do the same thing. Because we know that as soon as we get up from bed and we go to work, the day gets crazy. It gets crazy. Sometimes things don't go right. Traffic is backed up. Wrecks. I mean, all these kind of crazy things that happen. But if we go to our Heavenly Father early in the morning and put all things under his hand, over his hands, then we're not going to be worrying about much. I have developed a thing with my wife. In the morning, she goes to work at 7. I go to work at 7. And I know traffic is going to be crazy. I'm not used to this. I'm from Arkansas. We're a smaller town. Traffic is more laid back. And when as soon as I get over here in 80, I see the traffic backed up from far away. I'm like, whoa. Okay. So I tell my honey, come on. We got to pray. Let's pray. While I'm backed up on traffic, I'm going to use my time wisely. I'm going to pray. And if the traffic gets backed up for whatever time, so be it. But I'm going to spend my time praying. And me and my wife pray. We do this every morning. I would encourage you to do this with your wife or with your kids. Whatever works for you. Another thing, I have my daughter's email. And I know she's going to go to school. And I know school is going to get tough. She tells me, Dad, school is getting tough. So what I do is I meditate on God's word. And I send her Bible verses that will help her get through the day. And I email her. She emailed me back. Dad, I love that. And I keep sending stuff back to her. Why? Because I know the pressure that is at school. And me as my parents, I got to take every opportunity that I get to be able to teach my kids. You can take advantage of social media. Social media, it is a great tool that you can use to continue to spread God's word. Next point. Spend time in spiritual treasures, not on earthly treasures. Spend time on spiritual treasures and don't spend time on earthly treasures. Luke 12, 16 through 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of certain rich men yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Don't put your trust on earthly treasures. You can't take them. I cannot take them. But if you seek for heavenly treasures, what does the Lord say? Not even a thief can go out there and steal your stuff, because they're out there secure. They're yours. Number 7, seek for wisdom and understanding. Seek for wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Seek for heavenly treasures. Seek for wisdom. Seek for understanding. But that requires opening your Bible. That requires praying. That requires a sacrifice. That means I have to put some things on the side. I got to concentrate on what is more important. Point number 8. Redeem time for God each day. These are very simple points that I'm giving you. It's nothing new. The stuff that I'm providing you right here has been written 2,000 years ago. Okay? The material has been written 2,000 years ago. Nothing new. Redeem time for God each day. Ephesians 5:14 through 17. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Awake from your sleep. Do not let time go by and continue to live the way you're living. Wake up. That's what Jesus is saying. Wake up. Paul rather here saying, wake up. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's what Paul is saying here. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we must be transformed. That's what Paul is saying. We must be transformed. Point number 9. Don't feel bad, Rogero. I got more points than you have. So we're good. But I promise I'm gonna try to manage my time. Okay. Point number 9. We can look at an example that Mary in the New Testament in Luke chapter 10, how she was very, very. She understood what mattered the most. She understood. Now it says Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening, because she knew that was the most important thing at that time. She knew she had Jesus at his with her, and she sat next, she sat by his feet and listened to him. Now we have on the other hand, we have Martha. Oh Lord, why don't you tell Mary to help me? Look, I am doing this, I'm busy doing that. And Jesus says, she's chosen the best thing. She's listening to me. We need to learn from that example. Point number 10. We need to focus our minds on things from above. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on things above. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but it can be done. You have to manage your time. Manage your time. If you're Bible, if you're one of those that like to drink coffee early in the morning, and you think that's the perfect time for you to read your Bible and meditate on it, then do it. Now, some of you may not have that time. Some of you might be at lunch time, or maybe at evening. Whatever time it is, redeem time for the Lord. Redeem that time. Romans 6:3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? The moment that you obeyed the gospel and that you were baptized, you died. You died to the old person you were. And you were raised with Christ. And Christ is in heaven. That's where we must put our aim, on heaven also. Point number 11, be diligent in seeking God. And once again, that requires managing your time. You gotta manage your time. We cannot seek for God if we do not manage our time. We have to manage our time. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. That's what the book of Proverbs says. That's Solomon. So if you want to find God, well, you're going to have to seek for him diligently. Very, very, you got to be on top of it. You got to open the book. You got to read. You got to pray. You got to meditate. Engage in Bible studies. And if you're not understanding something, ask for help. We got elders here. What a privilege. Where I come from, we have no elders. I didn't know what it was like to be in a congregation with elders until I came here. You're blessed. You are blessed. You have elders here. You have people that stand for truth here. You're blessed. 2 Chronicles 15:12-13. Never mind. I'm sorry. Point number 12. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm almost done. We must be willing to submit our minds to the Lord, and then our actions will follow. We must be willing. Because if I'm not willing to open the Bible and read, I'm not going to get anywhere. I must have a willing mind, and I must have a heart that wants to know God. And if I do those things, things will work out. 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off. 2 Chronicles 15:12-13. Then they enter into a covenant to seek the Lord, God of their father, with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever will not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. These people were serious about seeking the Lord. If you read that in there, if you read that context, it says, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death. These people were serious about seeking the Lord. They were not playing around. I'm going to leave you with something to think about. Are you being diligent with your time when it comes to seeking God? That's only an answer that you can answer for yourself. Are you being diligent? Proverbs 8:34-36. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Is anybody here who is not a Christian? Is anybody here who has not obeyed the gospel? Why not? Why not? It is the best beautiful thing that you can do. That's be the best choice. Serving the Lord is the best thing in your life. Why are you waiting? Mark 16:15-16 says, and he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I believe we have water behind here. If you want to be a Christian, don't let nothing stop you. Don't let nothing stop you. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only answer. He is the only answer. Don't wait. Don't put it off for tomorrow. I encourage you to think about that very, very, very careful. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Jesus said to him, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Once again, Jesus is the door. He is the answer. He is the answer to everything. Don't put it off. John 8:24. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Listen to that. If we refuse to obey the gospel, we will die in our sins. Because until that point, we are sinners. And we will die in our sins if we refuse to obey the gospel. The strength and power to live as God commands comes from the gospel of Christ. That's where it comes. Romans 1:16-17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And you know who wrote this? Paul. And if we backtrack, who was Paul? Who was he? He was somebody that persecuted the church. He was somebody that went against God's will. And Jesus told him, it is hard for you to preach against the goats. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. You're fighting against me, Paul. Or Saul at that time. You're fighting against me. You're not going to win. And when he heard that voice, he says, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And then now we can see how he wrote all these epistles. Jesus used him in a mighty way. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There is power in the gospel. There is power in the gospel. And last verse, Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Not every week. Not every month. Not every 6 months. My text says it here, daily. Luke 9:23. My text says it here, let him take up his cross and follow me daily. We must sacrifice our time if we really love God. We're going to have to sacrifice our time. Manage your time. Manage your time. I want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity once again. I want to thank God because He's the one that has given me this opportunity to stand here before you. But I also want to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to be able to come in front of you and break down the bread of life to you. I hope that this message has edified you in any way. I pray that if you're not a Christian, that you will become a Christian. Why not? If anybody's subject to this invitation, I would encourage you to come as we stand and sing.